The after party starts
right now. Power up suits and welcome into another episode of The After Party. My name is Will, and with me, as sometimes but not all the times anymore, but I guess it's maybe going to be a trend again, who knows, it's the one and only Nate from the Gamers Guild. What's happening, bud?
Not much, man. Just getting ready to do another battle report and just keep rolling with everything that's going on.
Nice, nice. What are you playing?
Going to be rocking some Sin's Cabal.
Nice. I've played against Sin's Cabal, and I've run it kind of casually once before, and it's different, like, because of the timing on when the triggers happen, so you've got to kind of play to that, but playing wide with a Cabal list is a lot of fun. And let me tell you the secret sauce right now, Nate. You ready for this? It's gonna blow the roof off the doors.
Play Crossbones?
Crossbones and Sin, number one A1 combo. Just pencil that in.
Absolutely. Bringing some illicit tech with them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been loving that combo lately. Like, I was never in the cult of Crossbones. Like, Crossbones needed something, right, to kind of bridge the gap, like, to kind of come up, right? And little did we know that it was his partner in crime, Cynthia, you know? Or as I said when we did the review for her, Cynthia.
you pronounce it however you want.
That's right. When I was in Nashville, somebody was like, yeah, you don't say Thanos right. It's Thanos. I'm like, okay, it's Thanos. Cool. Got it. But, you know, it's cool. Everybody pronounce it however you want, whatever makes your heart happy. Speaking of making hearts happy, Nate, we got a lot going on in today's show. So first up, we are going to be discussing a couple of really great characters, taking a look back at a couple of Asgardians that had a bit of a weird release date and kind of were, I guess, the poster children for our odd release schedule that we've been on for a while now, and that is Angela and Enchantress. So I know you're very excited to talk about especially one of them.
Yes, very much so, one of them.
And also, in the middle of talking about these two characters, we are going to announce the winner of our massive X-Force giveaway. We had a ton of entries, and we are going to be giving away all of the X-Force characters, including Wolverine and Sabretooth. I know they've been out for a while, but they're part of the X-Force, so they're in the giveaway. And then a Luke Cage and Iron Fist, too, because why not? Because they're awesome. So
might as well, man.
Might as well. So be on the listen out for that. Can you say look out when someone's listening to a podcast, Nate?
I mean, you can. They're just looking out their car window, or
next thing you know, a cable box is falling from the sky right into their lap. Sunlight. No, it's all right. It's falling into the seat next to them through the moonroof, because we all have moonroofs now, right?
Sure.
It's summertime. They should be open, right? Yeah, no, I don't think so. Not if you're living in, like, Phoenix or something, because then it's hot.
And even if you're living in Tennessee, I don't know what you're talking about.
It's true. It's been blazing hot here lately. So, Nate, let's go ahead real quick, and before we get into these two characters, let's talk about the TTS League, because we've been kind of talking about that as we've gone through. I know you and I kicked it off with a narrow defeat for me, narrow victory for you, and ever since then, you've kind of kept the train rolling, right?
Yeah, I'm 4-1. Got a chance at making that top cut.
Nice, nice. How'd your most recent match go?
It was another W. It was a close game against Wakanda on Gamma Waves. The score ended up being 16-4, so it doesn't sound that close. But my characters were super beat up, and he had priority going to that next round, so thankfully I was able to score that exact number to make sure we didn't progress any further.
Nice. How have you been finding using your A-Force and She-Hulk tech? Has that been fun?
It's been fun, man. It's been a little bit weird. There's tough point totals, and I definitely did not optimize it as well as I could have or should have, but it's been a lot of fun.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I just had my, I guess, round 5 match last night, kind of late, and it was a lot of fun. I played Max Power. We had a good time, and we we were joking around, goofing off, because we were both, you know, at that 2-2 point, so we were just playing and having a good time. I still ran my CS, but I ran, like, pretty wide. He had a Brotherhood list, and when we picked the, like, I won priority. No, I lost priority. Did I win? No, I won priority. Yes, I won priority, I think.
As long as you're sure about it.
No, I didn't. I did not win priority. And you know why I remember I didn't win priority? Because he picked blue out from under me. And when we were given the choice of Crisis, I pulled Research Station and the Demons Downtown was the other one. So it was 19. We played a 19 threat. And I was like, you know what? Like, let's just have a fun time. It was one of those things where, you know, I knew it was going to be bad when I saw the 19 threat, especially against Brotherhood. You know, you don't want them to have to bring as many characters as they can with such a high threat level. But it's a really fun match. We had this massive piece of size 5 terrain, like, right in the middle of the board. And so, you know, Demons and Research Station are both map E, so straight down Main Street. So you've got to go over this thing to get to it. But the way I chose board edge, like, I was just like, yeah, sure, this looks good. And it turns out that he could actually secure the middle demon area and the researcher guy. He could secure that on without being on top of the building. Like, he could be just on the other side of the building, like base to base with the building and be securing it. So I wouldn't be able to see him.
Ouch.
Yeah, it was fun. But I mean, you know, CS, all I had to do was get Big Boy up there. And he was just like, yeah, what's up? I'm gonna hold this down. And it was a slugfest, and it was so weird. I ended up winning 17-3, but it never felt like I was that much in control. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I had a massive lead after turn one, and by massive, I mean it was 1-0 turn one.
Yeah.
And, it was fun, and there was a weirdly not a lot of terrain destroyed either, you know. And at one point when we were destroying terrain, I was like, 99 points of terrain on the wall, 99 points of terrain, take one down and pass it around, 98 points of terrain on the wall. It was just stupid, you know, just goofing off and having fun, you know, because that's what we do.
Yeah, but that's the important part. Like, it's a league and all that, and there are people who can get, like, super competitive, and good for those people, but to be able to just chill back, toss buildings and everything else at each other and having fun is quite a bit of why I like this game so much.
It was. And so I played an IRL game yesterday too, and I ran into Scarlet Witch both in the IRL game and in this match, and she is such a powerhouse right now, dude.
Like, oh, yeah.
I am having the hardest time dealing with her. It's like, okay, who's getting deleted this turn? Or if they're not getting deleted, who's getting loaded up with so many conditions they ain't going to be able to do anything?
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, I hate it. But I love it, but I hate it. I'm considering trying to do, like, a super X-Force list where it's just, like, Cable and Scarlet Witch, or Cable and another Threat 5 character, and just, like, trying to wreck face like that. I don't know how successful I would be, but I'm going to think about trying it.
Look forward to hearing how it goes.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Maybe Jean Grey in there.
Yeah, just go 15. Why not?
Yeah, there you go. I like it. So, speaking of going 15, I guess this doesn't really matter, but whatever. Let's talk about Angela, who is a 5-threat character who could get to that 15 if we added her in. So, boom, there you go. Segue complete.
Uh-huh.
You signed up for this, Nate.
I did. But let's talk about her, because what a powerhouse of a model.
Absolutely. So, Nate, before playing any games, what were your thoughts with Angela?
I thought she was pretty much going to be Gamora 2.0. She's got the long moves, some extreme mobility. And so I thought her potential to just absolutely wipe out back rows of cheaper characters is where she will be at home at.
Yeah, so for me, I thought a little bit of the opposite. I thought she was going to be a powerhouse Gamora like character, because the six dice builder, all that stuff, have a little bit more of a hearty take. You know what I mean? Like the really nice thing about her is, while she only has the six stamina, she, on her healthy side, she has those four defenses across the board, which really are strong. Now, you know, dice are going to dice, so you can never just rely on it without having any dice manipulation, which she doesn't have. But I thought she was going to be able to be more of a heavy hitter and, like, be someone that can take down MODOK and the like. But as I've started to play with her and gotten more games in her, one of the things that surprised me is that while she is very strong, like you said, she is very strong into those more medium weight characters instead of going toe to toe with some of the more heavyweight characters. Now, I do think that she is really strong into certain big characters, but the ones that have that high physical defense, or that have defensive tech, or that have those massive health pools, she's not as strong. Like, MODOK's probably a bad example. She is pretty good into MODOK because of his low physical defense, but still, chewing through all that damage can be pretty tough.
Yeah, she. What surprised me is I thought she would at least be, like, adequate in that area. Like, I thought she was going to be tuned for wiping out teams of the Guardians and stuff like that. But I remember the first time I put her on the table, she was on just one side of the board against Black Panther, and she just did not do anything on that side of the board.
Mm. Yeah. Would you say that was probably more of a dice situation, or just...
I mean, a little bit of dice, but at the same time, Black Panther is just one of the more durable characters, especially on his healthy side, getting to count blanks.
Right.
So just pushing through damage there was... And granted, it didn't help that Black Panther was within the Web Warrior affiliation. Ooh, leadership.
Yeah. And that's where I think that she shines, is against those smaller level characters that don't have that defensive tech. And, like, for instance, I had her going up against me in a match recently, and, you know, she was able to chew through Gwen in 3.6 seconds.
Yep.
I mean, it was bananas how fast Gwen went down. And then she had trouble with a Venom, because Venom was able to take that damage and then throw it right back onto her.
Mm-hmm.
But you actually used her very effectively against me in our TTS match from this beginning of this season. And it's one of the things that I think that she is underrated for. Like, everybody looks at her and says, oh, she's a long mover on a 50 mil base. She's fast. Yes, she's fast. But being able to chain that angelic assassin between characters is really some insane mobility on her part, because you were able to get her from literally one side of the board to the other side of the board by doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that I think surprised me also about her, is that while attacking, she's able to move those spaces.
Yeah, you know? No, if things work out well and you're targeting somebody on a bigger base size, her range 2 attack that then gets a range 2 place on the other side of that character makes her just able to move an extreme distance, especially if you get that daze or KO, because then she gets another short move and another range 2 attack that can be another range 2 place, and it just goes and goes.
It does. And let me ask you a question about Angelic Assassin, because I had this question come up in a match I had recently. So it says that if, you know, this character dazes or KOs, can use a superpower. This character immediately advances short, then makes a Xyphos attack. So immediately advances short, does that mean that she has to advance the entire distance of short, or she can just pick up and set back down?
No, because the only times where you have to go the full length of a movement tool is with a throw or a push.
That's what I thought.
Any advance, place effect, any of those just have to be within that range.
Cool. That is what I thought. So that is good to know. And yeah, she's just a real powerhouse of a character. And I think that she's just, in general, very strong. And one of the things that she does well is, like you said, like mop up duty, if you will. You said duty. I said
you
duty.
You said duty.
And like, if you can get her into a position to where she's maybe attacking someone that maybe has been softened up a little bit, like being able to hit a Kingpin that's got 3 or 4 damage on it, being able to hit a Gwen. I mean, Gwen doesn't even have any damage, but if Gwen has 2 damage on her, that's really great. A Miles, characters like this that have those lower health pools that she can kind of take advantage of with her big Xyphos attack that is free but has 6 dice on it. I mean, she's really good at that mop-up duty. And she has objective play in that if you think you're protecting an objective with these characters, she can bounce between those characters potentially and then take control of that objective. Or she can grab an extract and run away with it to a point where you probably aren't catching her.
Yeah, she is uniquely suited, and she's about to have a partner in that, where that long move just right out the gate can get you to a middle objective and leave you with an action to retreat, get better positioning, fill in the blank.
Or smash somebody that decided to come up early, too.
Yep, that too.
Yeah, yeah. So what would you say, though, are her faults, Nate?
Her faults are her spender is really not great, except for maybe the Hulks and MODOK of the world, but not even MODOK, because he'll cancel out those wilds, which is what she's looking for. So she's not a tank buster kind of character.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is a small nitpick because of everything else that she does do, but she doesn't have any board control elements.
Yeah. I guess you could say that her Living Ribbons is a bit of a border control element to keep you from placing the tool over her, but I think that's more gimmicky than, and it's more about the modification to attack dice.
Yeah, it's definitely really good, especially if she gets up in somebody's face and that person needs to get on the other side of where she's sitting, so it can definitely be a potent ability, but that's not the control where typically looking for. We're looking for pushes and throws that help mitigate the battlefield.
Exactly. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think that's her biggest fault is lack of board control, but some people would say that her board control is dazing and KOing people.
And it is, but at the same time, Enchantress, who we'll talk about soon, has the best of both worlds there.
This is true. So, yeah, she's definitely, her spender, I'm with you. Like, there's no reason to use her spender over Xyphos most of the time, I think. And I think that that's a bit of a miss.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think part of it is that the cleave is so good, but also so hard to trigger that it doesn't make sense to even try to go for it. You know what I mean? Like, if you look at a character like Sin, who has the make it personal part of her attack, you know, where she has the critical and the wild on 6 dice, I think the math works out about the same to try to get the, if you're rolling like 7 or 8 dice with Heaven's Wrath, I think it's just a slightly better chance to get Sin's thing, but at least it's only 2 triggers instead of the 3. And like, the cleave would be a very powerful ability if you didn't have that trigger on there, but I just feel like it's so hard to get that fishing for it is a bit of a trap.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. But all that to say that I think Angela is a really wonderful character in this game. I think that when you first look at her and you think, man, 5 threat, that's a lot, but she really does a lot. And where she does a lot, Nate, is in A-Force. Specifically, like, she is a really, really, really great complement to She-Hulk in that for a lot of reasons, and I'll let you go into that because you've played a lot of it lately.
Yeah, absolutely. So the big thing for anybody who knows A-Force knows about special delivery, which is She-Hulk's personal drop-off. Size restrictions don't matter, and Angela has the longest just innate move in the game. So gives She-Hulk plenty of drop-off scary range. Can get her up the board to get a free attack in that middle section. Or even use late game. Just gives a whole lot of utility to the A-Force. And what's especially disgusting is Angela would have her own additional actions and a power left over after playing it. So maybe Angela moves She-Hulk up to the middle of the board, grabs that center objective, and then retreats back to a different secure point while letting She-Hulk wreck the middle of the table.
Yeah, or Angela can soften up that target after, or finish off that target after She-Hulk goes in with her attack, and then get to move somewhere and do fun things and go start blasting other people. So,
yep.
Lots of fun possibilities there, but we know that she's affiliated in A-Force, and we know she's affiliated in Asgard. I think that she's good in Asgard. She was a big part of the Dash Guard thing that was popular for the higher muscle play or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes sense because she can move a lot, and she's still really good there. She's able to move really fast and all that stuff, so she's still really great in Asgard. What are some other unsung places that you would maybe want to put Angela?
Well, first, I feel like we need to at least give the Guardians a shout-out because she is also affiliated for them.
That's right. And would you play her in Guardians? Like, would you take Ronan out and put her in? Or would you try to fit both of them in with a Star-Lord and a Drax, maybe?
I think it heavily depends on what kind of Guardians you're trying to play, in the same way where the Avengers are soon to have a absolute go-wide strategy and a, hey, here's my elite team that has a lot of synergy built in. Right. And so if you're a Guardians that's wanting to go wide, a 5-threat really restricts your ability to go super wide. But if you're trying to play a kind of like mobile Guardians that are able to influence a lot of the board and a little bit more killy, Angela fits that bill really nicely.
She does, she does. And I think that there's definitely some unexplored space there with Angela in Guardians and with that style of maybe going a little more fighty with them. So it's something I might want to explore a little later, I think. But where else do you think she slides in nicely?
Are you trying to get me to say Web Warriors? Because I won't do it.
I was maybe going to say that, but actually, weirdly, I mean, she's fine there. Okay, she's fine at Web Warriors. And you know what? If I was trying to get you to say Web Warriors, I would have said, where does she swing nicely into? You know what I'm saying? Come on. Come on, Nate. You know I got those puns on tap. But no, so I'll go ahead and take this then for a second. I think she fits fine into Web Warriors. I mean, everybody knows that I like putting characters into that. But the thing is, while she fits the bill of mobile and she can more or less like kind of hold down an area on herself and kind of reposition and support, with her in Web Warriors, she becomes this like massive target. And when she is a target like that, because she doesn't have the kind of innate defensive abilities that other characters have and that the Web Warriors innately have, more or less, she ends up kind of being at a disadvantage, I think, because she gets focused down really hard. And if the dice don't go your way, it just really hurts. Whereas characters like Cable or Doctor Strange, as the five threats that I typically like to use, you can use them from a little bit further range, keep them a little bit safer, while also being able to support your team. So, in terms of how I play Web Warriors, she doesn't really fit, even though I think that she could play there decently and have some good, you know, synergies. But I also got to say that I like her in my X-Force as well right now, because, like I said, I was trying to figure out like to put this like heavy hitter team on there, and what's cool is you can put Cable out there, have Cable go up and support her by getting some incinerates off potentially, and then having Angela go in and just kind of mop up, which I really like that kind of play. So, you know,
I like that idea. That I have not actually got to play X-Force at all yet, but I can see the synergy. It's a little bit expensive, but then if you're filling it out with Deadpool, Domino, and the like, I can definitely see the appeal.
Right. And that's the thing, like, you know, just a slight tangent here for a second. Like, if you're going to be a heavy hitter X-Force type, right? Like, you know, you've got to think about getting those incinerates on people early enough, and you want to, at least in my experience so far, double tap as often as possible with Cable to maximize those odds. And then if you have Cable and Angela, that's your 10 core right there, or Cable and insert 5 threat. But I like the idea of Angela being in there, because again, that threat range is so big that she can, you know, get to where she needs to go to finish off a target. So you you send her in after Cable softens someone up, or maybe even after Domino does a grenade bounce to get the incinerate on someone, and then you have Cable, Angela, Domino, and Deadpool, and you're looking at 16 threat right there. And then I think that's a pretty solid little bit of a core. And then if you need to go higher, you could maybe throw in a Taskmaster to stay affiliated or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
So it all depends on the threat values, but I think it could be fun. So
I like the idea.
Yeah. Other than that, though, I don't particularly think she's particularly awesome anywhere else. What about you?
Yeah, she is just the only character in the game right now that has that one leap to the middle objective, which puts her in a uniquely good position. But outside of that, no, I think it's just kind of she can be generically good anywhere, but I think we've covered where she excels.
Exactly. So with that, Suits, let us know what you think. And we didn't have time to get a question and answer portion for this one out, just simply because we've both been kind of busy lately and I hadn't had an opportunity to put the post out. So sorry about that, but we'll make sure to get the questions and answers flowing on the next episode. But let us know what you think in the comments for this post whenever you see it, and send us messages on Facebook at the House Party Protocol Facebook page there, and send us emails at housepartyprotocolpod@gmail.com. You can check out our Patreon if you're interested. It is $1 a month, so $12 a year. Or you can do the $5 a month option. You'll get extra bonus entries into our giveaways when we do those. But you'll get access to our Discord, so send us messages over there. I love interacting over there. And I don't think I say this enough, and I'm going to say it right now, and it's one of those things I need to remind myself to say it more often, but to the suits out there that are patrons, and to every suit out there listening, whether you're a patron or not, thank you so much. I always get kind messages and kind words and nice comments, and anytime I play on TTS or meet someone in real life that listens, it's always pleasant, and I'm always glad to talk to y'all and do this. It's a pure joy, and without y'all, I would probably still be doing this and talking into the ether, but that's okay. But you guys make me want to continue to do it and continue to do it better and continue to do it at a high level, which I hope I've been achieving so far. So thank y'all so, so much. And as a show of that thanks, Nate, I think it's time to announce a giveaway winner.
Absolutely.
So I've already entered all of the comments into the commentpicker.com Facebook thing, whatever it is, and I entered everybody's bonus entries in. We had 233 bonus entries. Can you believe that, Nate?
It's a big number.
That's awesome. We had so many messages from listeners sending us the extra codes. We had all of our Mark V patrons got their two bonus entries, so really great. I really appreciate all of it. We ended up with, like, I think 700 comments total. It's something insane. It's utterly amazing, and I really, really appreciate everyone that participated in this, and we'll be doing it again soon. I think our next one might be a little Falcon and War Machine, maybe throw somebody else in there, I don't know, but kind of keep it small for a little bit, and then we'll have another big blast here before too long. We are approaching 100 episodes, Nate.
Ooh.
Can you believe that? Yeah. So that's maybe for crazy. Episode 100, we'll do some kind of big blowout. With that said, though, the winner of the X-Force Plus Iron Fist and Luke Cage giveaway is Steven Jones. And his comment was, "Got to be the Punisher. I used to read his comics all the time as a kid." And to you, Steven, I say, congratulations. And what were your parents thinking letting you read Punisher as a kid? Come on.
Yeah, that's a dark one.
Yeah, I mean,
be. I guess it depends on the run.
As I say, if it was Punisher Max and you were reading it as a kid, yeah. I mean, more power to you. More power to you. Punisher Max is one of the best Punisher series I've ever read. It's one of the best comics I've ever read, like just in general. If you've never read Punisher Max, highly recommend. But Steven Jones, congratulations, my guy. I will be sending a message out to you and an email out to you very soon. So be on the lookout for that. And Suits, thank you all so much for participating. And I hope to do another one for you guys really soon. And also, you know, make sure to keep sending us messages. Like, I know a couple people said that they were kind of disappointed that they weren't going to be sending messages and stuff anymore. Feel free to send us messages every week. Comment on our posts. I will gladly reply and talk and start that conversation. That's perfectly fine. So, you know, hit us up. And with that, Nate, are you ready to talk about Amora?
Absolutely.
All right. So we have your girl, and I call her your girl because she's like, what, one of your favorite Marvel characters, right?
She's definitely one of my favorite Marvel villains.
Okay.
For sure. There's an old Avengers cartoon that came out like in 2010 or something like that, and she was one of the main villains and part of the Masters of Evil that Zemo puts together, and just really enjoyed her her style, her swagger, I guess.
Oh yeah, she's definitely got a lot of swagger, especially on the tabletop. And before playing any games, Nate, what were your thoughts on Enchantress?
Just wow. Her text went on and on and on. But I thought she was going to be extremely solid in the early game when characters didn't have the 2 power to pay for her dice reduction on her defense.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought late game she was going to be very fragile. But otherwise, she was just going to be a character that got power quickly just based off what we've seen with Vision and the Asgardians in general. And I was excited to put her on the table.
Yeah, for me, what I thought about before playing any games with her was that, kind of to your point, that she was just going to do a lot of everything very early. Like, she was going to have this real big board presence and play more akin to a 5-threat character early game, right? And being able to use that 5 mystic defense on defense, 5 mystic defense on defense, yep, was going to be a big boon for her. But at the same time, though, I was thinking that I've just sometimes not had great success with even higher defense values, so it's like, I'm not going to rely on it, even though it does feel good.
Yeah, it's still dice.
It's still dice, exactly. But really, I thought she was just going to be this kind of weird dual objective player, right? Like, she's got a Morris Kiss, so like, oh, she can steal objectives from somebody while also moving people off of objectives. Or you could move people into her to take objectives. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Which is a very fun strategy. I suggest you try it sometime. But just, it was all a really interesting kit, like MODOK Lite, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And But one of the things that surprised me when I first got games in with her was, one, literally the cat was out of the bag immediately, in that she is a target anytime she's on the board. Like, most people see her on the table and it is, let's get rid of Enchantress. And
they're right to think that, I believe.
100%. And the reason why is because even into that mid to late game, and you're forcing her to roll those 2 defense or whatever, she's still able to do so much. And if you aren't in a position to just go into her right away as your first activation in a turn, if you have priority, she's going to mess up your plans. And I think that's really powerful. It's really strong, you know. And the biggest reason for that, in my opinion, Nate, and I'll see what you think of this, is her Siren's Call. It's basically Bow to the Will of MODOK, but it's being able to advance characters short for two power. And like you said at the beginning there, she's a character that's going to be flush with power most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that she's just a real powerhouse of board control. And if you don't just lay into her, even if you don't spend the two power to make her use those weaker defenses, just lay into her, that's what you got to do.
Yep, you need to limit her activations as much as possible, because every time she activates, she will either move you off of objectives, steal objectives, or she can set up some devastating beams.
Oh, yes.
Because the combination of being able to Siren's Call multiple characters, line them up for a beam, you can basically just earn all of that power back immediately.
Yeah, and that's a really disgusting play that happened to me not that long ago, let me tell you. But you know who is immune to that play?
Jean Grey?
Deadpool. Kind of.
Deadpool, true.
Yep. But we're not talking about DP today. But she really, that board control, and like you said, so not only can you move people off of points, right? So if you're trying to score points, you move people off of those points. You also have the ability to line people up for the beam and then double tap with a beam, and you think, oh, it's only five dice, but five dice two times, and it adds up. It really adds up. And I think that she just does a lot. I know in our match, Nate, you focused her down nearly immediately. I think she got to move up to the middle of the board, and that was it in that game.
Yep, I did get a little bit lucky, though. Angela did her shenanigans of being able to take out Crossbones and then lay into Enchantress with the follow-up.
True. So I'll say you got lucky, but it was also just, it made sense. I mean, you definitely hit her good there. And in my recent match against her, I had an opportunity in kind of an inverse of that. Like, Crossbones had an opportunity to take her out. She was on one health. I made her roll two dice, and I could not get the final health through with Crossbones. Useless.
Ouch.
Crossbones useless. I'm kidding. He's been so good for me lately, which is crazy to say. But all that to say, Nate, we've kind of been singing her praises here. I think we've already covered the what does she do well, but what are her faults? Because she does have some, but I don't think that they're particularly as obvious as maybe you might think they are.
She doesn't have any, Will. I don't understand this question, what you're implying.
She
about.
Is perfect model on the tabletop, invincible, amazing.
No, I think there's really only one weakness to her, though, and that is those low defenses. Being able to chuck terrain at her is her absolute worst nightmare. Anybody that has enough power to just go into her reliably is also not very nice. Because at that point, you're just hoping that your opponent's dice whiff, because you can't really hope for too much on two dice.
Exactly, and I think that it's definitely all stems from that defense, but I think it's more to the point of, like, the throw game is very bad for her, and it's one that I mean, we've seen it used against a character like MODOK to great effect as well, and I think that that's kind of where you're going to have to put into her is to throw things at her, and if you can have characters that come up and do that, and, you know, positioning and all that stuff being what it is, like, that's one of the biggest reasons why I didn't have her taken out earlier in that match I was just talking about, was because my opponent positioned things just so, and I'll give him credit. I think it was intentional, but it didn't seem like it. It seemed like it was just like, man, this just happened to work out with this placement. But given my opponent credit, he definitely positioned appropriately to keep her safe from the Kingpin throws, which is definitely something I'm learning as I play more CS and everything. Only having a character like Kingpin who has a guaranteed pay for it throw is a bit of a downside, I think. But I think we're at a point in the game, Nate, where kind of covering the bases in your roster is becoming a little bit more important. And that means having a couple of characters with a throw, having the ability to generate power and deal with characters like Enchantress is one of those things where she's not, you're not going to see her every game, but like having the ability to deal with a character like Enchantress, I think, is becoming very important.
Yeah, they're, whether that's a Medusa or a Enchantress or any of these just potent characters that can be difficult to take down in some situations, having answers to questions that you know are going to be problems is going to be very important going forward.
Absolutely, absolutely. And one of the other things that I think is a bit of a fault in her way, I guess you could say, is that if you don't get her into the fray, she is very limited because she does everything from range 3. So like her beam is range 3, her enthrall is range 3, her hell hath no fury, so her throw is also range 3, siren's call range 3, right? So you've got to kind of get her up into it. So she's a character that I feel like is designed to manipulate things and be a backline character, but you have to still kind of put her out there to get the maximum effectiveness out of her.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think that can be categorized as a bit of a fault.
I don't know about fault. Maybe I think that's intentional design to make sure that she has to be up there to be getting her power, and that's where her interacting is. Because she doesn't have this like just random one range 4 or range 5 attack or ability,
right?
I think she is just meant to be up in that fray regardless.
That's fair. But it also allows you as the opponent of an Enchantress to have a chance. in my opinion, for sure. And
can't, like, otherwise, I think if she had all this longer range tech and everything else going, I think we could very easily see her move up into a threat 5.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. So with that, though, let's talk about her affiliations now. And she's a character that is affiliated Asgard, affiliated Cabal, right?
Yeah.
And both of those are just fantastic for her. Like, they're two great spots for her. And you want to talk about a character that enjoys Cabal. I mean, she is going to get to 10 power so fast in that affiliation.
Uh-huh.
And then just becomes not only the ability to use her abilities, and if you stack her and a MODOK together, well, you want to talk about a level of board control that is nearly unrivaled. I mean, I think Wakanda might be the only better bit of board control. Maybe.
Yeah, you can definitely build a Cabal control list that has, like, MODOK, Enchantress, Sinister now has his own, a little bit more limited, but abound nonetheless.
Right.
Cabal has a lot of just damage output and control ability in their lists.
They do. And I really like Enchantress there. I've played her there a couple of times, and it's spicy. Spicy. So try that out if you haven't done that yet, Suits. And then also in Asgard, she fills a really interesting role there, because one of the things that Asgard doesn't have a lot of in, really outside of Thor, which is going to sound weird to say, is that control. Thor's version of control is to throw things about, right? And that's a fine version of control, but bringing in an Enchantress to Asgard gives them that level of control and manipulation and placement and stuff like that that they definitely benefit massively from, I think.
Yep. She is a single piece that can add so much to an affiliation because of her control, both on secures and extraction. She has a throw. She has energy. She has Mystic. She just is a really nice bundled package that is also pretty fragile.
Exactly. And where is another place that you like playing her?
My favorite place outside of those two, and real quick, also shout out, reason that why she does so well in Asgard is Odin's Blessing really helps kind of nullify that vulnerability for when that one big dice spike comes in at her. She can just be like, ah, no, just one damage, please.
Yeah, it's great. Odin's Blessing is so good on her.
Yeah, real nice synergy that it can also feel real disgusting on the other side of the table. The other place I really like her is with all of her other female friends in the A-Force.
Interesting. Why do you like her there so much?
You usually are running at least She-Hulk and probably Okoye to kind of help offset the extreme cost of She-Hulk. And both of these ladies have Bodyguard. And how Enchantress's innate ability, what is it actually called? I forget.
Enchanting.
Naturally. How could I forget? The timing of that works out where your opponent declares the attack, and then they have to choose whether or not to pay 2 power. So Enchantress will either get her 5 defense dice or go down to 2. Well, after your opponent has decided whether or not they want to pay that power, you get a chance to Bodyguard. So it's kind of this trap of like, well, you can target Enchantress, but if you do that, you have to spend 2 power, and if you spend 2 power, I'm just going to make it go to waste and you're attacking She-Hulk all of a sudden.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's amazing. And that is one of those like really odd rules interactions that I've seen come up lately, not that one specifically, but just in general, of like the timing of things matters so much. And what is it? The back page of the rule book, like one of the last couple pages of the rule book, has this really nice timing chart. And a lot of the questions that we have when we ask questions in a match or whatever, just refer to that timing chart, and that will generally tell you when things occur.
Yep, it'll set you on the right path at the very least.
Exactly. And this enchanting and being able to use a bodyguard after declaring that you're going to pay the 2 your opponent's paying is just this. It's so good. It's such a good thing, and it's such a good trap for the opponent. And I'd say, by and large, be aware of that. Like, if you're playing against an Enchantress with a bodyguard there, be aware of that. But at the same time, if you are playing in, like, a league format and stuff like that, most people are going to have that understanding. And generally speaking, unless I really am trying to get that damage through, or there's not like a bodyguard nearby, I'm not spending the 2 power most of the time because I want to do other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's just me. And again, it's just kind of the situation. There's so many situations that come up in this game, and you can't plan for them all. So,
yep.
Yeah.
And for those Cabal players playing her in affiliation, Hail Hydra works the same way, and your opponent doesn't even get the opportunity to pay the 2 power.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So spicy. I love it so much. So another place that I'm really enjoying playing her is in Criminal Syndicate. I think she works really well there. I haven't had her on the table in the last couple of matches just because I've wanted to try other things. But in CS, she is really nice because, one, she can get to those points and hold them down at least for a round or two before people start having the power, and then move people off of it, counting as 2. I mean, she's really great there. And I really like that. And then one of the things I've kind of figured out with her, though, is to kind of pair her with the right character on a side of the board with her. So, like, one of the mistakes I made with you and I was I kind of had her and Crossbones just hanging out on a side by themselves. And then I had MODOK and Kingpin hanging out on a side by themselves. That was a mistake, right? Like, deployment, if we played that match all over again with the same characters, deployment would be completely different. You know what I mean? Now that I kind of gotten more used to what my CS needs to do and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So, all that to say that if you pair her with the right character, I think that she could hold down things really well. Like, if I'd have had Kingpin on that side of the board with her, I think that things would have been a little bit more better. More better? Yeah. A little bit better. And I also probably would have had a little bit of a different matchup at that also. Like, I put MODOK in that match. I was like, oh, well, I'm going to try to have MODOK here as a counter to the big heavy hitter. But now, looking back on it, what I would have rather had was Sin and Crossbones with, I guess, a Toad of a two threat character, and then play it that way with Enchantress there. Like, I think that would have been a better play for me now. But this just speaks to, like, how, again, every situation is different, and Enchantress can fill a lot of gaps, but when she's focused down real hard, those gaps get harder to fill. So you've got to kind of play into that and use her appropriately. And another word to the wise, Nate, I'll see how you feel about this. Activate her late. Just let her be a later activation, because if you hang her out there early, that's when she goes down.
I think it depends, and mostly kind of just depends on the situation.
Valid point.
Because there are absolutely times where I have activated her last, and she just kind of scurried around the board, stealing some extracts after being dazed. She had all the power in the world, so she moved somebody off of a secure, moved somewhere else, grabbed a couple of extracts, and I just won the game with that 3-point swing in one activation.
Right. And then I will say, it's fair. What I need to clarify is, early game, she should not be like the person you send to the middle of the board right away.
Yeah,
that's probably what I need to say. Otherwise, you're right, Nate. The later the early activation can really come in handy if timed right, and like if you're able to activate her early, line people up for a beam, blast them all, and then they're all either dazed or heavily damaged, and then move away or take an objective, whatever. I mean, obviously, every situation is different, but...
Yeah, her with a card like Bitter Rivals makes for a devastating first activation.
It's disgusting. It is legitimately disgusting.
I played a game against Sooner. I was doing A-Force versus, I think, his Asgard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't actually remember. Maybe it was Wakanda. But we took turns alternating. I activated my Enchantress first. I played Bitter Rivals. I ended up that turn, over the course of it, dazing his entire roster.
What?
The next round, he does the exact same thing to me.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Now, granted, Enchantress didn't do all that work, but she did daze 3 to 4 characters on her own both of those turns.
Oh, yeah. No. She's really great. She's a really versatile character. She's a very versatile character. And I think that she's one of those characters that's right on the edge of her 4-threat value,
mm-hmm.
in my humble opinion. Like, she's one of those that, like, in the design space, because... And this is, I guess, a bit of a tangent here. But, like, in the way that this game is approached, with the narrowness that our single-digit threat values, it makes a band of a threat. So, like, or a curve, right? Everything's on a curve. And you've got a 4.0 down on one end of the curve, and you've got a 4.9 at the other end of the curve. And you can look at that across the entirety of the line of MCP. And I think that the designers have done a really good job of keeping things somewhat on that curve appropriately. But I think that there are characters that are either on the upper echelon of the curve and on the lower echelon of the curve. And Enchantress is one of those that I think if you made her a 5-threat, she wouldn't be played as much, but it would also be warranted. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, she would have to have
a little bit of changes,
a little bit of extra tech in there somewhere, but
exactly.
Yeah. Thank you. I think you nailed it. There is this wonderful range band that AMG have developed and put in place, and she is definitely one of the characters that kind of pushes that limit. But she's, as currently she is standing, is definitely not a 5.
Yeah, I agree. But I do love her a lot, and she's a character that, if you haven't had an opportunity to play either of these characters, Angela or Enchantress, I highly, highly, highly encourage you to do it, because they are both very fun characters. Angela is a character that I feel like you can play as a missile, and you can just send her in, throw some dice, have a lot of fun that way, kind of set it, forget it, right? And Enchantress is a bit more... Here's that word again, Nate. Finesse-y.
Mm-hmm.
but she's a little bit more of a character that has a lot more going on, and that you have to kind of plan how you're going to use her a little bit more and be dynamic and whatnot. She's a really strong control piece. So, you know, two very different styles in one box, and I really love that. And like I said, I highly, highly encourage everyone to go out there and play these two characters. If you've been on the fence about whether or not you want to buy a new set, you know, you're kind of slow growing your collection, give a look at these characters because they're a lot of fun.
You would not regret this as a random expansion to pick up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Nate, with that, I think we've about finished up here. What do you think?
Well, I got a question for both of these characters.
You know what? You're right. I totally glossed
over. You might even say it's my favorite question.
Yes.
My only question. And do you think that either of these ladies has gotten better or worse as time has gone on, or have they stayed about the same?
That's an interesting question this time around, Nate. I think it's an interesting question every time. But I think Angela... Let's see. So they came out before A-Force, so they've gotten better. I think Angela had this massive spike of having gotten better with Hired Muscle and the way that that kind of interaction played out. And then you see Panic go on to the restricted list.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that spike went back down to where it was level. And then now with A-Force, Angela kind of went back up a little bit. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So Angela has gotten better overall, but it was a massive, massive spike in betterness and then leveled back out to still better, but not as like, holy crap, she's insane better.
Yeah. And I think I know that the UK got these guys like 3 or 4 months in advance compared to the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that release schedule, I think you're right. I think they were otherwise supposed to release with She-Hulk.
Okay.
That same month. So with that in mind, I think Angela took a huge step up and then took that exact same step back down to where she was and has stayed about the same. And I really, both of these characters have been well above average performers for the entire time they've been out. Angela had that nice spike, but otherwise I think they've really stayed about the same, which is like, please don't make them go up.
Yeah, I think Enchantress has... She's already so good, it's hard to say that she's gotten better. So it has stayed the same, but to your point, where she started was so good already that if she did improve, if there was something that came out that made her better, like, holy crap. So...
Yeah, I think they are both quite good, fine where they're at. And I don't think there's been any new leadership that made either of them just pop off.
Absolutely. I completely agree. And yeah, so Suits, don't forget to show Steven Jones some love for winning our giveaway. And keep it tuned right here to House Party Protocol for future giveaways. And make sure to let us know how we're doing. Leave us a review on the iTunes, or if you can on, I don't know if Spotify does reviews or not, but anywhere that you can leave a review for us, please do that. It really helps us to grow and get the HPP goodness out there. And you know, these algorithms and stuff, they love the reviews. So make sure to do that. If you can, send us messages at housepartyprotocolpod@gmail.com or on our Facebook page. Or check out our Patreon and join our Discord over there, and you can send us messages that way, chit-chat with us that way. You know, it's all pretty chill. We have a good time, and let us know how we're doing. Let us know what you want to see in future HPP content. Like, I mean, we've been doing the thing for a while now, and I think it's pretty good, but it always can be better. So let us know how we can make things better for you, and yeah. Nate, where can people find you?
Guys, you can find me over on the Gamers Guild YouTube channel. Also have a Facebook page where things will occasionally get posted up and whatnot. But just making all sorts of content, battle reports, character reviews, any and all of it.
Love your stuff, Nate. You always do a great job. And I can't wait to get on another battle report one of these days.
One of these days, man. Maybe NashCon.
Love it. Love it.
Make
well,
it happen.
I'm going to try to make... Did it end up getting more slots for that?
We will find out probably by the time this episode is live.
Nice. Well, fingers crossed for that. And with that, party on, Nate.
Party on, Will.
And power down suits.